This is Destination Midnight. You are listening to the Dreadhouse Podcast. I'm not scared.
Well, today, I stood outside 248 Green Street, Brimsdale, Enfield. You know the place that completely overshadows any other ghost story from Enfield. The really annoying thing about this story is it's more than likely faked, but captured the imagination of many people since it was first recorded back in the late 1970s. I was 5 at the time, and when I first heard the story, it terrified me. My sister would torment me by imitating the noises that were played on the radio of Morris's recordings. And I'm going to leave that story there, as it's been told too many times. A good TV program was made, and a dubious movie also. Incidentally, the movie, The Conjuring 2, was filmed in Graham Road in Enfield, not Green Street. I know this as I know the people who own the house that was used in the film. Hi Damien. Type in Enfield Ghosts into Google, or any other search engine for that matter, and you will have to sift through 4 pages before you get a story unrelated to the Enfield hauntings. That's why it's annoying. See, I'm a massive fan of all of things macabre, and theming or dressing up at Halloween as one of the Hodgsons just doesn't seem appropriate. So Enfield, we have a rich haunting history that is completely overlooked or just can't compete with the glamour of a Hollywood movie adaptation. We'll start with 40 Hall in North Enfield, a huge site with a Jacobean house sitting in its southern section, with a farm and beautiful gardens. To the north of the site, there is Turkey Brook, a stream that runs west to east and crosses Enfield and a couple of parks until it meets the River Lee. The brook has a mostly wooded section and starts on the 40 Hall site at Beggar's Hollow, right next to the Rose and Crown pub, once owned by Dick Turpin's grandfather. It was known as a Dick Turpin haunt. Just how frequently he attended is speculation. I like to believe he was a regular, as I only live 2 minutes away and I pass it every day. The Jacobean house on the site of 40 Hall isn't the original hall. The original hall was called Elsinge Palace, which happens to have been the regular home of one King Henry VIII, his son Edward VI and Queen Elizabeth I. The palace was demolished in the mid-1600s by Lord Rainton. There are no real reminders that there once stood a majestic palace, no ruins or rotting arcs, just a plain sloping field leading up or down depending on your position of either near the current hall or Turkey Brook. This vista makes this next section all the more poignant. This next section was sent to me via email from Malcolm Waters of Willow Road. It was a reasonably warmish early October evening. I was out walking my dog. At this time of the year, it's still warm enough to walk out without a jacket, but gets dark very quickly past 6 p.m. The kind of dark that once you're outside, walking along Turkey Brook with densely covered trees means you really struggle to see the path and are reliant on your dog not straying. There are a good measure of noises that freak me out, a few owls, some bats for good measure, and various silhouettes of logs and posts made me feel uneasy a few times and gave me the impression of a person standing still. We cleared the wooded section and we immediately came to a clearing. I turned to face south, and as I was walking, I could see the lights of 40 Hall House. Not lights of somebody in the building, just lights that illuminate the outside. It was a scene and a walk I see and perform on a daily basis. And it's a great place, like many other people, to walk your dog. In the years I've been doing this walk at this time of the year, I rarely see anyone else, dog walking or otherwise. That was when I noticed her, as she seemed so out of place. A woman dressed in white, which seemed out of place for the time of the evening, and I laughed to myself and I thought, it's a ghost. She would move in a straight line, walking like she was gliding, and then sharply turn. She was looking for something. I thought she'd lost a dog, and then my dog growled, and I turned to face him, and then I looked back and she was gone. But where had she gone? I mean, there literally wasn't anywhere for her to go. She was out of sight for no more than a second, not enough to make it to the tree line. So I thought she must have fallen over. So I moved towards a space crossing the grass to see if she needed help, but again, there was no sign of her. A wave of complete confusion came over me. There was this woman I know I saw, and then she wasn't there, with no obvious way for her to disappear. It had to be special circumstances where my sense of timing was out of whack, and she was out of sight for longer than I'd originally thought. It was a minute, and for some reason I was distracted and it felt like a second. Yet somehow, that didn't feel right either, or possible for that matter. I mean, it's possible, just unlikely. So I continued on my walk, looking over my shoulder, half expecting to see her appear, but she didn't. I recall stories from my childhood that scared me about a woman dressed in white wandering around Fawlty Hall looking for her lost lover. That wasn't it, and as an adult, I certainly didn't believe that. When I got home, I emailed an old colleague who works at Fawlty Hall and asked her if she'd heard of any sightings or reports of a woman dressed in white. She replied the next day with a lull. She said that she'd never heard of anything, but gave me the email of a local historian, so I messaged him. It took a week for a reply. He mentioned that there had been a number of reported sightings of a woman thought to be Agnes Blossom, who died around the 1400s, roaming around the surrounding site. Why she was there or what she was doing was not clear or known, but it was recorded. My blood turned cold. She was married to Robert Blossom, who the Church of St. Mary's was founded for. Up until my sightings, there had been 7 such sightings over a 600-year period. Nothing this or last century. The historian asked if we could meet up and discuss it further. I explained that I'm not sure what else I could offer, as I had explained everything in the original email, all that had happened, but agreed to do so sometime in the future just for the record. Do I feel lucky to have been shown this? I'm not sure. It hasn't put me off walking through Fawlty Hall at night, although I do make sure I look around properly, always now carrying a torch.